BerkeleyCloud9.com. Today we've got an exciting 10-minute radio show where we're live at PoliticalTracker.com headquarters. Joining me today is Stephen Hayes, CEO and co-founder of PoliticalTracker.com.
Welcome to PoliticalTracker.com headquarters.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get started.
All right. Show me what you've got going on here. So, Stephen, tell me a little bit about what PoliticalTracker.com is. I mean, I've looked at your site. I know, you know, good history myself, but let's tell everybody that's watching today, how did it start? What is it? That kind of thing.
Well, PoliticalTracker.com started about 4 years ago. We had the initial concept then. We've been developing for about 3 to 4 years. What the website does is it's totally free for the user, for anyone. It allows someone like you to go on there and track any of the federal officials from Congress, as well as all the way down to the state level, your state Senate and House representatives. You can follow and track any of the bills that you have. Interest groups, if you're interested in any of the lobbyist groups or just any interest groups, you know, in the political arena, we have those on there too. What happens is it's one button to track everything. When you click that button, you have your own personalized dashboard. Now, you do have to sign up for the site to get your dashboard, but like I said, it's a free site for everyone. We will never charge for it. Everything that you track comes into your dashboard, all customized for you. We also have over 100 different news channels on there. Everything from Fox to CNBC to NBC, CNN, and even some of the bigger bloggers that are out there that we like to, you know, provide. It gives it a little bit of depth in the news.
So this sounds like it's a neutral site. It's not really meant for Democrat, Republican, Independents. It's for everyone.
Correct.
And it's more around monitoring the activities of your representatives or other representatives you may have been interested in, but never had the way to track.
Correct. When the initial concept came up, I always wanted to get involved in politics, and I wanted to do something. The issue was is that I had no clue where to start. To track actual politics, I'm not just talking about news stories. Anyone can read the news. The news is biased, depending on who you watch.
Right.
There's hardly ever a news channel that you're going to find that shows a neutral story.
Mm-hmm.
They always flip it one way or the other. So what I wanted to do was create a website like Political Tracker that would come out and give you everything politics, okay? It doesn't matter if you're a Republican, Democrat, Independent on our site. You track who you want, you track the bills that you want, you get all the updates, everything. You're tracking news, not only are you going to get their articles, you're going to get anything that's coming out on Facebook or Twitter. Same with the officials.
So we're able to comment on some of these articles and other people can see our comments?
Absolutely.
And how anonymous is it? So are we talking behind a shroud, or are we actually ourselves when we talk on it?
When you sign up for the website, you have a chance to pick a username. That username is actually what shows up when you comment and when you discuss on the website. We do not show your real name. We will not give your data out. We will not sell it. We're not going to hand it over to the NSA. Okay? So you don't have to be worried about that. As far as we know, yes. Yeah. You know, we'll try to protect it as much as we can.
Right.
So the entire concept is in each different political section on our website, you have news, you have legislation from federal all the way down to state legislation, to your officials, interest groups, and also your committees. You can track a committee and know every single time that they are in charge of a bill or they send it to have a vote on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tracking a bill, you get an update on each individual action that happens on that bill, whether it goes through the next stage and gets voted on, or if that vote passed, every single thing. There's sometimes 30 actions on some of these bills.
So you might see some of the flip-floppers, the people that say they want to vote one way, one representative wants to vote one way, but all of a sudden he's starting to vote not the way you thought. Now we can say, we need you to start voting the way we voted you into office. And,
correct.
You know, it's hard to say that when there's so many caveats to a bill. For me, I may not understand why my representative votes a certain way, and I may get mad at him. But if I actually could read the whole bill and understand the conversations going on, I might understand why he votes no on something or she votes no on something. So I got to imagine that when you build a site like this, it takes you know, a lot of time, you started a couple years ago, you've really been working hard at it. I know it's a, you know, any startup is day, night, weekends, but tell me a little bit about your staff and, you know, how you've built up to where you are now. Because I know it's not just you designing the site. You're not the you're not just a CEO. You're actually a hands-on engineer for this site. But tell me a little bit about, you know, who your staff is now.
Well, when we started, it was, you know, just a couple people. Now we have developers across the globe working for us. We have some new designers that are coming on board to help us with the new look that's being released on January 23rd. So our staff has grown a lot, and they're all placed different throughout, you know, the entire, you know, globe. And that's, you know, where Microsoft really helps us out in the tools to be able to manage those people. So if you see here, you know, this is kind of the new design that Political Tracker is leaning towards. Developers are actually working on these right now, finalizing them and putting them all in place. For bills, this is a Fox News page for one of our channel providers. Simply track the news right there. You get your Facebook, Twitter, everything through here. You can filter it down. So you can see all kinds of different posts that are coming out from all different news.
And those are the comments from my friends that I'm on Facebook with, or everyone?
Yes, if it's a Facebook post that's on the site, then it's going to show the Facebook comments associated with it. If it's a Twitter post, it'll show the Twitter comments, and you can actually interact with Twitter right from our site.
Sweet.
User discussions, you can create your own discussion here. That's going to show your profile name that you created when you signed up, like we discussed earlier. Mm-hmm. We have a yay and a nay. It's like a thumbs up, thumbs down. So if you like it, yay it. If you don't, nay it. It'll show, you know, your representative kind of what you're thinking. And the really cool thing about this website is, you know, let me show you bill interest, the bill listing. For example, every roll call that happens, there's a post made. These posts are generated as the data is coming on our site or any status. What's very unique is that you can yay and nay and discuss each individual item that's happening, whether it's happening to bills or to officials, anything on the site.
So tell me a little bit about the tools. You've got the architecture has changed dramatically from when you first started to what it is now. Tell me about not only the tools, but tell me about your foundation, how the website works, how the data is being held. Just give me that kind of, you know, a high level view, and maybe we'll take a look at it in a second too.
Okay, sure. The website, you know, everything's developed in .NET. The backend database is built with SQL. We also have SSIS running jobs constantly throughout the day. You have to imagine, Tommy, I mean, we have to keep this data up to date. We have to be fresh. Within a new bill getting introduced, it needs to be on our site with information within 24 hours.
Was it always like this? I mean, were you always on SQL? Were you always doing it with the .NET? I mean, how did that start?
In the beginning, you know, we went through a lot of different solutions, okay? Mainly on our architect side, our hosting, we had to really find a solution that, for one, I wouldn't have to worry. I don't want to have to worry about getting, you know, a bunch of hits on the website and not being able to handle it.
So a big name, you want a big name in the industry for hosting, right?
Yeah, we used Amazon at first.
Okay.
It was okay, but the problem is. For one, it's really confusing. The portal is not anything like the Azure portal. It's just not intuitive. There's so many different options out there to choose. You really don't know, you know, what direction to go for the right solution.
You first built your platform on Amazon using various pieces of their portal, and as you've been, you know, revising and looking at new ways of making the site. Sounds like you're now on Azure, which is you know, I think one of the best things Microsoft has going right now. That's the area that I talk about, the area that I learn about the most. So when we talk about that, we think about Azure, or we think about hosting as a web provider, like, you know, some of the web providers out there. But it's much more than just web providing. I mean, we're talking, like you said, SQL. We're talking about running jobs. We're talking about virtual machines. So let's talk a little bit about those different the technologies that you're using, but let's talk about them from a product level. So you've got Windows Azure being the top level umbrella. So let's talk a little bit about what are the pieces inside of Azure that you're really focused on right now.
Okay, well, we use the virtual machines very heavy. Okay. Since we do run SQL and SSIS packages, we do have to run a staging database on some virtual machines. Now, Azure actually has it. Probably last year at some point, this came out where you can actually have always on for SQL 2012, which is a huge benefit to us. We have it in place right now. We have our domain controller up there also, which is great to be able to provide access and, you know, the single sign-on for everything. But we have virtual machines that run SQL. We also have virtual machines that run development machines.
What kind of OS? I mean, what are you talking?
For our virtual machines, our standard machine is a Server 2012 R2 machine.
Okay.
And, you know, in this company, we use all the newest technology. So we upgrade right when Microsoft releases. We use the 2012, and we use SQL 2012 along with that. For our development machines, it's the same thing. It's always going to be, you know, Windows, Server 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys actually have a great image out there on the Azure platform. I don't know if you've tried it out. It's actually a Visual Studio 2013 image.
Yep. We use those in our cloud camps or app dev camps, where we have people come in to build games or apps, and they want to learn, but they don't have Visual Studio. So they spin up an Azure VM, and they actually start developing right there in the camp. It's pretty cool for our dev workshops. So
That image has saved me hours. When I hire a new person, I can just spin one up and you know, hook in some of the Azure components for the development side, and it's done.
So Visual Studio is the main tool you're using for development?
Correct.
Across the globe.
Yes, we recently upgraded to 2013.
Okay.
So we are using the latest.
You are using the latest on everything, it sounds like.
Yes, we're even updating to the new .NET 4.57.
Okay.
Entity Framework is being upgraded at the moment to the newest release. I mean, everything. We like to hit the ground running.
Okay, so Steven, show me the process. How do the builds get created? Visual Studio puts them online for you, and you've got Azure, and you've got all this tied together. Explain to people watching today, how does this work?
Okay, well, the first thing that you do is whether you publish on either a Azure website or a Azure cloud service. We use cloud services for our application, actually, WebRoll. In Azure, it easily allows you to link up TFS, your account. It's a couple clicks and it's done. Right from there, everything that gets checked in is automatically going to publish. You even have a build configuration in Visual Studio that you can go in and you can edit some of your build settings. So whether you like it to go on the staging environment or production environment, things like that, obviously we put everything on the staging environment first.
All right.
So, as you can see, if I go into code, I have, you know, some change sets that are getting checked in right now from some of the developers. And I can go over to the build, and I can look at my queue, and I can see I have 5 queued up deployments going right now. This one's running. The really nice thing is it'll show me the latest one that's deployed. This one's in progress. Any failed ones. We have a lot of team members working at the same time. So as different pieces of the code get done, some builds might fail throughout the process until the other piece is finalized.
So this kind of keeps everybody in check knowing not to publish a half-baked build.
Yes, and if they do, we know immediately, as we see now, and that's what they're working on, you know, getting the build finalized here. One of the things that has saved me that TFS has is this redeploy. Okay, if we accidentally push out a build and we don't want it, it was the wrong build, I can easily go and see all the recent deployed builds and just click redeploy. It'll redeploy it to Azure for me, and I'm done. So we accidentally push something out.
You're done, like as in it's on the web, anybody can access it.
Yes, with your build. I mean, we've had it happen where we checked in one of the developers accidentally checked in a web service, WCF service, to the production website, and it overwrote it.
Wow.
That saved my life there. I was able to have us back up in about 10 minutes.
Wow, that's awesome. So show me where you do your linkage here. I mean, that, for somebody who's getting started and wanting to get it linked up to your Azure account, let's go ahead and, you know, show me that piece. So this is the Azure portal, Windows Azure portal, and you have all of your services listed on the left-hand side. I can see websites, virtual machines, SQL services, cloud services. So show me how you start, where you would go to get started with what you just showed me.
Well, if you're using a website, you just click on your websites. This website actually runs our Lightswitch portal that we have.
Okay.
This allows us to verify, check data. It's basically CRUD wrapped around a database. It's great. Lightswitch has been very helpful for us.
Mm-hmm.
So let me click this one. This one isn't set up yet.
All right.
So if I go to dashboard, right here, you see setup deployment from source control. You click that button, you can pick from any of these services. Visual Studio Online.
GitHub, Visual Studio Online,
Bitbucket.
Yeah.
So it has a lot of options now.
Very cool. Studio Online, of course. Okay, so you're going to add Visual Studio Online next, right?
You put your URL in here. You click authorize. And accept. From there, you choose a portal or a repository.
Uh-huh.
And check button. It links it. It'll refresh when it's done. And that's it.
Now, how did it know that your repositories, how did it link to your Visual Studio Online? How did it know it was you?
Well, right now in Azure, I'm logged in as my Microsoft account. Okay. That's what you use to log in to Visual Studio Online. It's right. A Microsoft account.
Right.
If I wasn't logged in, even if I had an organizational account and I was logged in, it would have prompted me to log in through a live account.
Pull all of your different...
Yeah, it asks... It asks TFS online, you know, what repositories and projects I have,
mm-hmm.
and gives me the option to select one.
That's very cool integration. So, and that Microsoft account, a lot of people, you know, last year or so, they were like, man, I'm losing this, or I can't say enough for how this is starting to come together with the Xbox, with Windows Phone, Windows 8. Seeing it from a developer standpoint, this makes things so much easier.
Oh, this helps us out big time. One of the problems that we have is, as you know, our developers are all throughout the globe.
Right.
Okay. To train each one of them and to coordinate when we do builds is too much. Not only that, you have to provide them certificates and security and access to Azure if you want them to build from their machine.
Right.
Using TFS linked with Azure for auto builds, I don't have to provide the security for them. I don't have to give them access to the infrastructure environment. Mm-hmm. There's a couple developers that you want on there, but the rest of them, you kind of want to, you know, keep away from that.
Okay.
So this is a lifesaver for me because I don't have to even teach them how to deploy on Azure or give them access to deploy on Azure.
Very cool.
All they do is check it in, the build runs, and we're done.
Very cool. So earlier you talked a little bit about SQL always on. So can you show me a little bit about that, how you would set up something like that?
Yeah, for SQL always on, you have a couple requirements. One, you have to have a domain controller.
Okay.
Our domain controller is actually on the web. Here it is right here.
And it's actually alive where somebody on the internet can talk to it, or it's on a private network?
It's on a private network, but you can always use the VPN and the network services that Azure provides to connect to that.
Endpoints and such.
Yeah, okay. You could put a domain controller in your office and still connect to the Azure service.
Right.
You need a domain controller. You need two other virtual machines that will run SQL on them.
Right.
And
with the images that are provided, or do you install it yourself? Or
I use the SQL images provided.
Okay.
For me, I know that the configuration is already there. Mm-hmm. The only thing I have to do is add storage pools to my virtual machine.
Storage pools? That's the Server 2012 new feature about putting disks together. And
it's very quick. We've run some tests on it, and with SQL, I have two storage pools of four disks each, 1 terabyte disks, and I set it up through PowerShell in about 5 minutes of work, and all my disks are there, and I got my own data disk, I got the logs, everything. So it's very nice.
Very nice. So that's built in technology in Server 2012 that's running in a virtual machine, Windows Azure, and you're actually able to go in, you've got your two machines running SQL. Now, you're also in our BizSpark program, so licensing and hours of usage on Azure, that comes with BizSpark. So tell me a little bit about that experience and what you're doing in that program.
Well, BizSpark is awesome. The sign up is very easy to do. It walks you right through it. And what you get out of BizSpark helps as a startup so much.
Okay.
To be able to have production licenses for SQL and some of these other things, you guys even have production licenses that you get on BizSpark for SCOM and stuff like that, which we plan on moving to for all our monitoring.
Okay.
So it's very nice. And one of the really cool things about it is it hooks in with Azure Perfect, where I can go and do a new virtual machine from this gallery, and I can choose an image that already has SQL installed. Okay? The really interesting thing about this is if I was not on the BizSpark program, this image would cost me a couple $100 more because of the SQL licensing.
Right.
But Azure knows that I have BizSpark, and it says, okay, go ahead, use that virtual machine, and you get charged for the virtual machine. And that's it.
That's it.
You also get discounts. You get, there's some cloud services and virtual machines. You get 30% off, things like that when you're in BizSpark. You also get
$150
of credit for free each month. So all these things for a startup really helps keep your bill. For everything that Political Tracker runs right now, our bill is under $700.
That's amazing. So you have your development, your staging, and your production, and the virtual machines running Visual Studio, your SQL servers that are always on, and then also you have production SQL, which is not in the virtual machine, so we probably will show that part too.
Yes.
A whole different area, and you're sticking under that cost per month. That's load balancers, anything extra you're having to pay?
No, and that's the one thing I love about Azure is with Amazon, you have to go calculate in the load balancer cost.
Right.
Okay. And that load balancer only comes in play when you have, two or more servers, which in a production environment, you always do. But in a staging environment, there's really no need for that.
Right.
So, with Azure, you pay for what you use.
Right.
There's no extra cost. They're not nickel and diming you for a load balancer. Mm-hmm. When you have two or more servers that are running in the same cloud service, you automatically get a load balancer.
It's just added by default.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So here's the different cloud services that we run. This is for our always on. This is for our web roles. We have a production and a staging in there.
Right.
And this is our web service, cloud service that we put up about 2 months ago.
Okay.
SQL databases, we have two SQL databases.
But they're not the SQL databases that you built on your SQL virtual machines.
Correct. Now, the reason we have virtual machines with SQL on it is because we have to run some SSIS packages, and that's our staging environment where the data stops there before it goes to these production databases.
Right.
But we use these Azure SQL databases for our production databases.
Okay.
They are insanely fast.
Okay.
Way faster than our staging ones.
That's a technical term, insanely fast. Yeah. Right.
I was astonished when we first migrated over to it. And it's handling all the data constantly coming over from the staging databases, porting over to the production databases throughout the day.
Okay.
As data flows.
Plus all the end user.
Plus all the end user and query. And, you know, for the new design, our queries are very complicated.
Gotcha.
So it is a little bit different than full-blown SQL, because you're really only having access to the database and a couple other things.
Mm-hmm.
But if I have not run into any problems with any of my SQL developers having the issue managing a SQL Azure database.
Right.
If they know how to manage this, SQL 2012, you know, 2008, whatever, they can manage the SQL Azure.
Okay.
Some of the cool things. It shows you your connection strings. It has firewall protection out of the box, so you have to actually allow through the specific IP addresses that are able to connect to your database.
Okay.
So it is very nice for security. It has a management console built in. You can also connect through Management Studio, just like you normally would.
Right. SQL Management Studio from any SQL installation. I'm gathering that's what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, but you can also do it online with a management portal.
Yeah, this is helpful for me. If I'm on a tablet, on the go, I can connect up here. What's really cool about this is I actually use this portal more to check the query performance, especially in development, and see the performance of any long-running queries that may need to be optimized by using indexes or anything else.
Wow.
Because I can drill down into this.
I mean, there are entire products devoted to trying to figure out which queries are slow, and you're actually doing it through the portal that comes free with the service.
I can see the entire query plan right here.
Look at that, 94.2%. Which one's that?
My index seek is what's slowing that down.
Gotcha.
So I can send my lead developer over here, and they can start debugging it right from here.
Mm-hmm. You can see what part of the indexes they might need to fix. And
mm-hmm.
Very cool.
I think this is a lot easier to drill down into seeing what the root issue is with any performance issues on your database than it is through Management Studio. It's just such a cleaner UI to be able to see the underlying problems.
Yeah, I'm starting to like a lot of the online UIs better than any of the native app UIs that we've, come to like over the years. So very cool. That's interesting too. I hadn't dug into the SQL performance because my focus area is mainly on the IT pro side, but that's outstanding, especially for someone who's an admin and jack of all trades. He doesn't know how to get knee deep into SQL, but if he can go to that page, he's pretty much knowing where he needs to start focusing.
Yeah, and if you really concentrate on developing, if you're developing a brand new app and you just start using SQL Azure out of the box, it's insanely easy.
Okay.
And not only that, some people are scared from SQL databases because of the maximum size, 150 gigs.
Okay.
I was a little skeptical at first, but they have what's called federations. Federations allows me to shard up the database and basically cut columns and rows and tables in half and put them on different databases throughout the Azure database structure. in architecture.
Okay, so you don't have to worry so much about the size because you can keep offloading to different databases.
Yeah, there would be two reasons why you would do it. For one, it would be the size. Mm-hmm. Two, it would be to load balance. Because if you're automatically cutting some of your data in different databases across the Azure, it's automatically speeding everything up. Mm-hmm. So load balancing for, and this is the main reason we went with, you know, SQL Azure as our production database, is I can laterally scale. Where everything else is vertically, and I would give my virtual machine more processing power, more RAM, mm-hmm. you know, I want to go across the board laterally and scale out like that.
Yeah.
And it's fast. I can actually federate my database as it's live, and it won't go down. As users are on my website.
That's pretty incredible.
It's insane.
Okay, so Don, you've been with Political Tracker how long now?
Since the beginning.
Since the beginning. So you've been one of the guys that has just worked and worked and worked to get to the point now where we have a real live website that's taking in different users and queries. And so you've been a part of all of it. You're the chief of operations, so you're the guy who makes sure things run smooth. You're
yes.
the guy that, you know, works through all the little hitches and makes sure that somebody, the tasks are delegated. So I got to imagine you spend a lot of time using the same tools, but maybe not the technical tools like Visual Studio. Tell me a little bit about what you do and show me, you know, how you use some of these tools.
Well, I mean, Office 365 and, you know, has allowed us to keep everybody synced with their Outlook, their calendar. So if I put out meeting notices, everything else, you know, okay, we're going to, you know, do a meeting this day, this time. It syncs to their phones, everything else. Okay, everything's great there. Before we had Dropbox, became a problem because, oh, I forgot my login, this and that. I was, you know, went to SkyDrive, and all of a sudden, everybody stopped complaining. There's no one had problems. Okay, yeah, I got that file. Yep, thanks for sharing it. You know, everything else, it's perfect.
And that's built right into your Office 365?
Built right into the Office 365.
Right.
You know, it's these SharePoint features in this of me going ahead and saying, okay, here's the tasks for marketing. You know, here's the goals, here's everything else, here's the deadlines, here's it's assigned to. Mm-hmm. That person not only takes control of it, they get the alert, they go ahead, they accept it, they work through it. Then they can update it. Okay, I'm at 30%. I'm up 50%. I can see if somebody's falling behind, someone's accelerating on something, and knowing that, okay, great, I can move a task to them next. Mm-hmm. I can double up on tasks, knowing how fast I can monitor and actually keep track of really production, keep track of operations, keep track of just everything. I don't need to separate email 30 million people and find out, you know, who's doing what at what time and everything else. It's literally, I can see progress on tasks.
Right.
I mean, with everything is great. It's the tracking ability of following, I mean, yeah, we're Political Tracker. So everything, you know, I can track and see everybody's progress. And everybody can keep me up to date without, you know, them emailing me and me emailing them back and forth. Everybody, you know, can just keep working. Just a quick click, update it.
And you're talking, you're in the document side.
Yeah.
This is on SkyDrive?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the SkyDrive. Everybody, you know, lives in here from a light switch portal, the marketing and PR plans, everything in here. You know, you can share folders, give permission to certain people to have certain information. Mm-hmm. Others don't need to see it. You know, programmers don't need to see marketing.
Right.
We just don't have a need for it at this time. There's probably in the future yet, but then it's just a quick click. Here you go. Here's your permission.
Very cool.
In our sites, in here, everybody has access to the wiki.
Right.
We, you know,
this is the SharePoint sites. Is
yeah.
that what this is?
So this okay. is the project info, the architecture, the scope and design. It's all in here, broken down to how, what, where, when. Everything's, you know, keep good logs on just everything. You know, who did it, when they did it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we can go back and, you know, hey, you remember when we did this idea 6 months ago? No, I don't remember. No, let's pull it up. It's in the wiki. Oh, there's the notes. Perfect. Let's implement that this way on another, you know, part of the project.
Right.
It allows us to just move freely through everything.
Gotcha.
There's no hurdles. The hurdle is time. That's the only hurdle we have.
Awesome. Okay, so about how do you talk to your people, especially across the globe?
That's wonderful. Skype.
Skype
is just, it couldn't get any easier.
Yeah.
I mean, I almost call it the one-click process. It literally is, okay, I need to talk to programmer across the globe.
Yeah.
Well, it's 10 o'clock at night here in the U.S., but it's, you know, 8 a.m. for them. They're just at their desk. Almost like a chime. Almost like you're ringing their doorbell and they're going to answer their door.
Right.
Get them up there, start talking, interaction, sharing. Everything's there. There's no, oh, I gotta fly and meet with them. No. I can bring them right up. Watch them on my, you know, screen. You know, we work with multiple screens. Makes it easier. Share screens. Oh, that's a godsend. You can easily just say, hey, this is what I'm talking about. Here's a visionary part of it. Oh, okay, I get that. Moves right over to them. They see it. It's not, no hurdles.
Very cool. I talked to someone who handles a lot of small business the other day, and they're actually seeing those folks buying Xbox Ones to be their video conferencing units because of Skype. It's built in, it's high definition, and it uses their network right there. I never thought of that application for Skype. I always thought of it as something on our portable devices that we can talk, you know, like a telephone. Using it as a video conferencing solution, really smart. And you guys are using it to talk across the globe, and you can have multiple people in the conversation.
Multiple. Again, we bring on a new programmer. If I bring on somebody new in another department, and I have to introduce them to everybody else,
right.
I just get everybody on. We talk, we share. Oh, okay. Because, again, you could do business all day long and never see somebody, but to see that one time, to see their face, you relate,
right.
And you build a relationship. You
right.
build a bond.
Right.
That's what's great about the Skype is, right. you know, oh, I'm going to go ahead and Skype this developer. That developer's going to bring this other one out.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Let's all just talk.
Yeah.
It's like we're all sitting at the same desk.
Very. So tell me a little about what's coming next for Political Tracker. What can Microsoft do to help you? And, you know, I guess anything else you want to say to the audience today?
Well, what's coming next is, obviously, you know, the event that Microsoft is sponsoring, the Political Tracker launch party on January 23rd. Mm-hmm. That is, we are releasing the official website for Political Tracker with the new redesign and all the bug fixes, everything we've learned from our beta launch. So that's right. Very exciting.
Very cool.
After that, in March, April, we are launching into the India market with a politicaltracker.in. And after that, we're going to hit the Russia market with a political tracker. So slowly we're branching out into different countries across the globe to provide everyone a way to track and keep accountable the people who are making these decisions.
So Stephen, Don, I want to thank you for sharing everything today. It's really exciting seeing what's going on, Political Tracker, all the different tools you're using and how things are working out. Really looking forward to January 23rd for the launch party. It's going to be great. Don, really good to see you out of the cave, my friend.
It was a struggle.
Rescue, yeah. So, again, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And we will see you soon. Maybe you'll be on the show again with us. Huh?
All right, let me know.
Awesome.